Everyone has a story. Everyone travels a road. Some of those roads are paved, some are gravel, some are a combination. Some are superhighways. Some of us have met with sharp turns, intersections, and delays. We travel at different speeds to different destinations. On this podcast, we talk about your road to now.
Welcome to Your Road to Now. Today I sit down with Rick Madison. And joining me today on the couch, is Kent Mulgat, the famous Kent Mulgat. Welcome, Richard, first of all.
Pleasure. It is absolute pleasure.
And I'm not sure why I'm here, but I'm going to throw in some tough questions after he logs
well,
in.
Well, you are a hard-hitting journalist, and I've always said that.
This may be my last podcast. We'll see where it goes from here. So why don't you start off, Richard, or Rick, how'd you like to be called?
For the purposes of this podcast, just Rick's fine.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Just kind of give us, you know, like try to do it in a minute or less.
Well, what's funny is my dad once asked me, he goes, so when you get up in the morning, what happens next? And he didn't really know. And to this day, I think the biggest thing is I'm not really sure what I do, to be honest, but I think I run a media company. I think that's what I do.
Nice. Where were you born? Let's start there.
Ooh, the mighty metropolis of Claresholm, Alberta.
Claresholm, wow. Big city. How long were you there?
This podcast picks up steam, hey?
That's what I mean. If you've done it in a minute or less, you could have left all that behind.
Because Claresholm might be the bottom.
That's not starting great.
Does it have its own grain elevator?
You know what? It's got a water tower, and I think that's all my...
That's what's written on it?
That's my memory. But, I mean, it's a great place to go to the bathroom. That's what I say.
And then just
pin it.
Keep on going.
Get out of there.
Right.
So you were there for...
You know how a lot of people stay in a town for the mill?
Yeah. You didn't have one.
Claresholm doesn't have a... No. I don't think they have an economic feasibility study.
Yet it's still there.
The library shut down. Someone took the book out. Oh. That's the kind of place it is.
Did they have a party when you left, though?
they might have had a small block celebration, for sure.
So anyway, just to answer the question.
Where are you from?
I don't think the Claresholm Chamber of Commerce is going to be rebroadcasting this.
Well, I don't think they've got enough members to actually write a letter.
So this podcast is probably going to take about 3 hours just to get to the point. So you left Claresholm at the age of...
Well, clearly I left Claresholm.
When? How old were you?
You know what? I think I was 2. My father...
Okay, so that doesn't count. Where did you grow up?
Tabor, Alberta.
Oh, you went from one metropolis to the other.
Corn
capital of Canada.
We were on the run from mostly the authorities, so...
It's not true.
So you're a corn husker.
Excuse me? It's kind of a personal question, isn't it?
Wow. And then Lethbridge, right? Am I jumping here?
Lethbridge took me in for a little while.
Did you go to university there or college? Or?
Oh, university has some really strict requirements, so I never went to university. Community college, just because I think if you go to community college long enough, you get to be an instructor.
Well, you're making friends with everybody.
Okay, this is supposed to be the road. So when you were growing up in Alberta, though, what were your parents doing? Were you a farming family, or what was the background?
You brought up a good point, Mulgat. Can I call you Mulgat or Mulgat?
Call me whatever Mully? You want.
Okay. I nearly died in Tabor. And I was telling this story to my daughter last night.
How did you nearly die?
So, you know those June bug beetles?
Those really big
They're beetles. Really big. So... I was a sissy growing up. So these kids came in the backyard of a house. They scared me with the June bugs. I ran because I was really good at running. And I ran up the log pile, jumped into a tree. And for a second, I was suspended above the ground. And I looked down and I thought, this is unusual. I'm not hitting the ground. My shirt was sticking out 4 inches from my body. And I lifted up my t-shirt. my skin was out that far. I'd landed and actually had a stick go up, miss the family jewels, and come up right inside of me underneath my ribs.
You were skewered.
I was skewered. So neighbor came across and he wanted to cut me down with his hedge clippers, which even during the time I was, I said, I don't think that's a good idea because I think I might bleed to death. I did say that. Got cut down. And my mother, who was six doors down, heard me scream, ran over. We're driving to the hospital, and she said to me, because I said, I think I'm going to die.
So the stick's still in there.
Stick's in me, for sure.
No.
And she says to me, as a nurse, she was an RN, said, if you keep your eyes open, you will not die. So we get to the hospital. They get me in under the knife, and the nurse comes over to my mom and says, hey, Pat, we've injected enough morphine into Rick to put down two adult males, and he's still looking at us. Do you know what's going on here? And she goes, oh, let me go talk to him. So she comes over and goes, you're okay now. You won't die. Oh, thank goodness. So they pulled it out, and there was still a lump in me. So they went back in, and that was the patch of underwear and jeans that went up. And wow. When the stick was going through. But the doctor said, shockingly, missed every major organ. He says, it really was a, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a miracle, but I'm kind of a miracle.
Blessed life.
Wow.
So I get to school. I was about 12, 13. And a kid comes up to me and goes, I heard you had a stick ran right up the old hoop there. And that's how kids, you know, that's how it happens.
Right? Yes. So, wow. Yeah,
survived that. And
so you've been impaled.
I was a human popsicle.
Wow. So you were, your dad was in politics out there.
He was town manager for Tabor, Alberta. That's why we moved every 5 years. Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. But anyway, that's another story entirely. But no, he, municipal government, and then he became a councillor in Devon, Alberta. And he's really,
he was a force. So he lived in many small towns in Alberta.
I got to see a lot of towns, yeah. Yeah, well, every 5 years he would move to get to the next opportunity because he would, I think he would right the ship. And then from there, he would try and figure out, okay, what was the next move or the next bump in salary?
So when did you strike out on your own, then when did you break away?
Well, I think 17 went to, no, 18 went to college. And then, and I never moved back home. I wasn't big on staying home. I wanted to...
Finish college and moved where then?
Went right to the other metropolis, St. Paul, Alberta.
Wow.
Home of the largest UFO.
You didn't see those other places, Calgary, site. Edmonton, stuff like that on the map?
Well, again, they weren't looking for a just out of an out of work broadcaster like myself. So, yeah.
So that's what you took in school, broadcasting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Broadcast journalism.
Nice. And so where'd you end up?
First job was St. Paul. Then I went down to Medicine Hat. And then Medicine Hat, I was interviewed by Walter Gray. Wow. The mayor of Kelowna, who said, I'm starting up a radio station. I'd like you to come with me. That's the one. Well, he was launching the Bullet at the time. So I came out here to be a part of that.
So Kent's got some radio history as well.
Yeah.
Straight out of broadcast school.
That's right. CJXX, your brand of radio, Grand Prairie, Alberta.
Oh, yeah.
Country. And then CJIB in Vernon.
The Jib? You came from the Jib?
I jibbed it.
I like the cut of your jib.
Did they ever use that on the radio?
They can.
No, we had a good little news department there at CJIB. Covered the city council and the school board meetings and all that. And it was a good public service back when radio stations, you know, did more in terms of local news.
I think that was a shot across the bow.
Well, they have to run lean these days.
Well, lean is a word.
So you did stuff with CKIQ, and then you kind of did, you're in marketing now, but when did you make that transition to marketing?
I think it was, so I did media sales for a number of years, and then I think it was a friend of mine that ran Island Snow that said, can you write some radio copy for me? So I did, and that kind of took off, where people went, Wow. I think it was when Pastor Tim, and he may not remember this, but he took one of my commercials from Island Snow and he played it to the 8 a.m. congregation and said, "This is one of the evils of marketing."
Nice.
And I can't remember what the storyline in that commercial was, but could have been anything, bestiality or something.
They were edgy, those Island Snow.
Yeah, they kind of, they're off-color a little bit.
They were a little in your face.
Yeah.
Can you remember one? You could and just voice it for us? Because I remember listening.
There was the one that only ran for 3 days that was pulled off the air because the board of directors for Diamet said, either pull it off the air or we will sue you. And that was the one that started out with an open letter to Mrs. Fipke. Congratulations on your divorce settlement. Of $250 million. Now, we just did the math, and if you buy a board, boot, and bindings package from us, we did the math, and you would still have $249,999,000. And by the way, Mrs. Fipke, what are you doing Saturday night? So that one got a little bit... So Diamond just said...
So we're going to pull this podcast down after it goes up.
Yeah. Oh, it'll get pulled down.
And you knew Diamond had the financial backing to take you to court if they so chose.
I was... There was the smell of urine in the air. Yes.
Wow. So you've been doing this for a while now?
Couple years.
Yeah. So was marketing kind of in your blood when you were younger too? Did you? Were you the guy that's selling newspapers and selling baseball cards, hockey cards?
I always had the ability to string together a sentence, but I'd say it's my short attention span has served me very well in the marketing circles, because if it doesn't delight me, it probably won't be something I would like to put out.
So you're a good communicator. You kind of done that most of your life. So that's how you credit all your sales ability? Is that?
Well, I think with sales, though, and you know, you have a lot of clients through Check Creative, and I think we're always selling throughout the day.
We sell all day long.
Yeah. And I'm actually just reading a book about Chris Voss, who never split the difference. And he was an FBI hostage negotiator. And he applied the same tenets of dealing with, you know, somebody from Manila who's just trying to get $100,000 out of a kidnap victim to Harvard Business School. And he was able to kind of meld both ideologies. And so he's that book has been very interesting as far as the communication strategies and how a lot of us, you know, we have to remember what the other party wants. But, you know, if you know yourself and you know what you want, a lot of times you can get it.
Persuasion marketing.
Mm-hmm. It's yeah. It's kind of a thing.
So how long have you been in Kelowna now?
I would say early 90s. I like to buy in a market when the market is really high. That's why.
Before it went down.
Yeah. Stock market, I buy really high and then it drops. So whatever stocks I'm in, those are the ones
those
to get
ones
out of right
in
away.
The last few days, if anything, anybody bought.
See, and that's when I dived in. I'm like, look at this market. It's going all the way to the roof.
I'm just thinking you should leave that hostage terrorist thing off the brochures for company, you know, what? As you're trying to generate sales. Because I'm not sure if your potential customers are the hostage or if you're calling them a terrorist, because I'm just not seeing sales opportunity. But I'm not a salesperson.
No.
It's up to you.
Well, clearly. Those glasses make you look really studious, though. Those are good.
Clark Kent look there.
Yeah.
I need them to see.
Do you?
Well, one eye.
Okay, is it the cataract or or is it the lazy eye? I can't tell which is which.
That's from the accident, the pole accident. You both have had trouble with poles and sticks.
Those is poles it, jump out at you.
Is it no. The bulgy eye or the one that's half closed? Yeah,
yeah. Is he looking at me right now? I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
So anyway, you've been here since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a couple children.
I do, yes, yeah. Yes. They are very, they're very funny people, actually. I quite enjoy, I actually just enjoy hanging out with them. Like, mm-hmm. they're just fun
it's
to be
Jack
around.
Jack and Diane, right?
Well, Jack and Tess, close enough.
Well, I thought we were going to do a song.
Well, what's funny is when I was, so Tess was maybe in still the infant stage, and I was dealing with Dr. Mark Stickle on some business, and he goes, what's your name? And I said, Tess. And he goes, oh, my son and her could never get married. And I go, why? And he goes, well, testicle. I said, I wonder if I did okay with this name. I'm not sure. Oh. And Jack Madison, I mean, how much...
That's a cool name.
Like, I mean, yeah, my aunt emailed me right away and said, Rick, Jack Madison, that name has balls.
It's, yeah, sounds like a made-up name in a novel or something.
Well, a private detective.
Yeah.
Or Billy Madison would be okay, too, though.
William, yeah.
So what's been kind of like the highlight in Kelowna for you? Like, what's been like the big moment for Rick?
This podcast.
This podcast? This is it?
Yeah.
The epitome.
Wow. How about some low points? podcast.
Well, you know what? There was... So I was part of the 2003 fires.
Right.
But I would say...
And your house burnt down.
Totally. Mm-hmm. What we called the walk-on...
Why don't you tell us about that?
The walk-on rancher.
Share that, because that's a big thing in Kelowna. Share that kind of those scary 10 days or whatever.
Well, I think what was interesting was the way the city, you know, which, to be honest, I don't think it was well equipped at that time to deal with that kind of mass emergency, but it quickly became equipped. And I've had long discussions with Ron Matusi about that, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot of people were working behind the scenes, but... No, I came home after playing racquetball and came home early, and an RCMP officer knocked on the door and says, get out.
So was your, is your, the house that I remember you in, is that where the old house was too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I went, okay. And then I went back to eating my chicken wings in front of the TV because a good show was on, and chicken wings are delicious. I mean, really. And then he knocked again and he used some profanity. Just to make sure I knew I should leave imminently. So he then said, you know, or I will take you out of the house. And I said, okay. So the trouble with being in Kettle Valley is there's one road out.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's pretty using the same road. So another sidearm to this, or sidebar to this story was people kept calling me. And I kept thinking, you know, it was... people I needed to speak with, so I would answer the phone. And I guess I sounded snippy.
That's good
timing, eh? Yeah. Mul Gatton's phone, I swear. In media circles, Kent, just so you know, we often turn off our phones. But just, you know, for you, you're an anomaly.
And it kind of worked out good because you answered the phone.
Do you hear, I don't hear anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, actually, that was a good sound effect.
I know, actually, boom.
So the phone keeps ringing, and anyway... a phone call comes in, and it's my friend. I won't name his name because, you know, authorities ever listen to this. But he says, do you need any help on, you know, getting the house unpacked? And I said, you know, there's two roadblocks. Don't bother. I'm in a hurry. So he goes, I'll be up there in 10 minutes. So sure enough, 9 minutes later, he's standing next to me in the house. And I said, how did you get through the roadblocks? And he said, well, the first one was pretty tough. But the second one, I think they radioed ahead. So he goes, they got bigger issues, but he broke through two roadblocks for me.
Wow, a friend for you.
That's a great friend.
So where were the kids and the wife at the time?
They were down at the bottom of the hill, pregnant with my daughter, and she couldn't get a hold of me, so she was afraid that the German Shepherd, the baby, was not going to be able to get out of the house because they weren't letting anybody back up.
Right.
Because if you weren't already up, then...
It would be just a circus then.
It would have been a circus,
I forgot this, forgot that.
So that was a bit of an issue. But we drove out with, you know, you always want to go back and do that. And actually, after the fact, I went up to the washing machine. And of course, you know, we're sifting through the rubble. And my clothes were in there. And I was like, this is awesome. Because I literally took out the freebie t-shirt that I got from the beer case. Like, that's the extent of... I just thought I was going
to
be gone for overnight or whatever. And so I went in there and I picked up the clothing and it just vaporized in my hands.
Ooh, wow.
But it flash burned. So, it was kind structurally okay. Yeah. But then when you pick it up, it just literally turned to dust.
Wow.
So that's how hot it was.
So you left that day, I think it was the afternoon, was it, that you left?
No, it was the night. I think it was... Wednesday or the Thursday, and it didn't burn until the next night, I think, was what happened.
Wow. And a lot of homes in your neighborhood had burned.
Yeah, there was a lot. And to be honest, there was a lot of, I mean, I was dreading the fact that the city was on fire. And Ron Matusi mm-hmm. told me, he goes, we're going to make a stand at KLO.
Yeah, no, I mean, they were going to run some cats across some properties.
And I was like, it really? This is what...
Do you remember that night when it was all burning? That mountain was just on fire. It looked like a 300-foot flame.
Well, and the winds. Yeah. The winds were what threw me, because it just felt like it was his own hellstorm.
So when did you know you lost your home? Like, it burned down. I don't think nobody really knew for a couple of days.
So, when I knew the house was gone, it was on the front cover of the Vancouver Province.
Oh, wow. Nice.
There was a picture nice. Of my fireplace... well down the road, because it'd blown up apparently, but I went and I was like, geez, I noticed that. Wait a second. And what was interesting was I put two jerry cans in the backyard, and the fire burned everything in the house, around the house, the fence, everything else. Didn't burn the jerry cans.
And they had gas in.
And they had gasoline in them.
I remember some of the pictures and stuff, and I remember going up and doing the tour too, because there would be a house gone. And the house next to it would just have melted siding. And then the house next to it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying they would just like pop. They would just like kind of like, it's not like the fire was there. They would just get heat up and they would just kind of like light up. And then and they would go, right?
So. Well, when you put kerosene in the gutters, it really helps.
So, but how did you react to that? Your house gone? Was like, I mean, your emotional impact
stuck.
Of that? Like,
I was devastated, and I'll... And this is something that my mom taught me growing up, was she said, if you feel like you're a victim, you need to help somebody else, because then you move out of victimhood. And that was ringing around in my head, and I went down to the radio station at the time, and they had a call center set up, and I said, you know, I'd really like to volunteer my time. And they said, well, didn't your house just burn to the ground? I said, it did. Thank you for reminding me. but... I would really like to help in some way I could. So, I got on the air, I got on the phone, and I can't read a map to save my life, but I tried to give people, speaking about fake news and misinformation, I gave a ton of it out that day. But I felt better as soon as I talked to other people and tried to give a hand up. Because then you turn, I think it was a psychology thing, but there's probably some studies around that.
That was great advice for your mother, though. That's mm-hmm. awesome. A good thing.
Well, it brought me from, you know, really how devastated I was and how much was lost into, wow, there's other people.
In that tragedy, though, one of the great things out of that, I think Kelowna really pulled together. I mean, it was like after the fact, and I know most people did okay financially after that, but I know that the outpouring from Canada was huge too. I mean, there was stuff coming into our community like crazy. As far as help went, because we lost two, and I might get this number wrong, Kent might be able, 236 homes or something like that.
Sounds right.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. And yeah. That was a lot of homes and a lot of, you know, like most people left with almost nothing, right? So like all the photos, everything that you kind of had, and so it's kind of a tough thing to replace for sure. The house was easy to replace, but the rest of it wasn't.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for me was afterwards... I had a bunch of neighbors and we all wanted to rebuild the fences. So we created a work party and we went from house to house, and whatever house we were at, we got to enjoy the lunch from that house. So it was incredibly powerful, the collective engagement, I think, because we all kind of bonded together and built some fences. And yeah. So in a lot of ways, I think, you know, you do need adversity to... collect people, and I think that's what happened.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So that was back in 2003, mm-hmm. I think. So when did you think you kind of felt normal again? Like, how did it take a while? Or
normal's a big word, Jim. Big word. When did I feel normal? I would say, you know, we waited until a lot of our neighbors had built their homes, because everyone wanted to put it behind them as quick mm-hmm. as they could. So they thought building a house was really the best way to do that. But we were having a child at the time.
I was going to say Tess was being born.
You're renting,
I take it, at the time.
Then? Sorry, that would have been Jack. Sorry, I mixed up my dates. So, and so that was, we were in a rental house, and it was well furnished actually. So we kind of took a year, and then dealt with the insurance and dealt with house plans and really took our time to part of it to see where the other houses were, so we could, you know, figure out the lot. But but I would say it was probably about a year, and then, you know, a child coming into your life is obviously a wonderful thing. So yeah, it was, I would say when Jack was born, that's when, you know, you kind of go, there's way more to things, I guess.
So you run your own business. You've been doing that for a while now.
I do, and I think somebody asked me the other day, and they go, what's the best part of your day? And I said, it's the freedom. Like, man, if freedom was a currency, I'd be a kajillionaire. So I really like the flexibility. But, you know, as you know, owning your own business, you work half days, which is 12 hours.
You pick the 12 hours to get to work. You get that flexibility.
Yeah. Half time. You can work on the weekends if you want.
You get all the flexibility in the world.
But I really, I do love it because, you know, I think just being able to dive into different categories and do the work I do is you know, one of the best things ever. And to live in Kelowna, which has so much to offer, is one of the great luxuries I have. Like, I always send screenshots of the weather to my friends in Alberta as often as I can. And if I don't get profanity in return, I haven't done my job.
You know. That's similar to what you say to me all the time. One more sunset picture.
you do the slow-mo sunset better than anyone I know.
You Kent and you both have similar age children, I think. Kent's got two daughters.
15 and 17. Yours?
Jack is 16 and my daughter is 11.
So similar in the ballpark there.
Oh, yeah.
You both have raised kids in Kelowna around the same time. So how is it for kids? Like,
well, I mean, the media tends to maybe push things out a little bit about, you know, certain issues that are pervading schools. But both my kids, I mean, they'll hate it when I say this, they're great students and they're really well-adjusted kids, which is odd considering I'm, you know, a parent. I credit their mother.
Well, I thought that was awesome that, you know, we did that Level Up conference last year, which you attended, and your son was a volunteer, and that was a great experience for my hope. And then Kent was moderating there, so
you did a good job. I was shocked.
Thanks. What? Wait a minute. Kent's that started out as a compliment.
No, that was, but that was a typical Rick Madison backhanded compliment.
I was like, what? Yeah, and like what?
Yeah,
but it was like, you know, you prep for it clearly. You had good, thoughtful questions, and not the softball, how awesome are you? Like, you know, you actually dove in on some stuff, which I appreciated, as a fellow journalist.
Well, thanks, Rick. That was quite a day.
You didn't suck at it. Let's just say that. Okay.
No, I think the feedback from the community is Kent got accolades, tons of accolades, and I think that was a great opportunity as well to sit down with two former prime ministers in one day, and I think that was amazing, and I think Kelowna, you know, the people that did get to attend, that was a cool thing to bring eight, you know, leaders in their different fields in one place in one day.
Well, I have to say kudos to bringing that together, because that was a lot of work, I know. And the other thing is, I mean, Stephen Harper was amazing, but I was completely inspired by Jean Chrétien. I mean, to weave humor and wit into what he's done in the past and just... he literally, and I look back and it put a smile on my face when I saw my son and his buddy tilted at the waist, leaning forward and hanging on every word that Jean Chrétien said, because he could have actually, I would have paid a ticket just to see him, because, that's when a politician, you know, integrity, values, said no to George Bush. Like, we're not joining the war because we don't believe in it. And to be able to stand up with the kahunas to do so, just, I was literally starstruck by Jean Chrétien.
He's, and I know that at the end of that, when Kent and him are sitting on the couch, and because the interview was so great, and Kent actually cuts him off because they know we were running a clock or whatever, right? And
way to go, says, Kent.
I'm sorry.
I know. Way to go. He really wanted to spend more time with me, but so I had awesome. To say, so
well, are we all a little bit like that?
But we got to spend a couple hours in the back room with him, which was just amazing too. So, yeah, no, if there was a world council and we were setting up the United Federation of Planets, I would send him as our delegate.
Oh, no.
He represents not only Canada, but I think as a human being represents a great example.
Hang on, though. We all knew that he was going to be a really fun and compelling person to speak to.
I didn't know that.
Okay. I mean, at least that was my sense. But I was really amazed that Stephen Harper was actually funny. He was funny. That shocked me.
He was funny and a little bit more clunky humor than Jean Chrétien. Jean Chrétien is
It just
is
spills
witty.
Out of Jean Chrétien.
He oozes charisma. And Stephen Harper, I think, has come more into his own since he left office.
Yeah.
Personally.
I had seen him interviewed by others and he wasn't generally funny, but somehow that day
I think the best joke he said or his thing was, you know, you've made it when the police put you in the back of the car and they don't push your head down.
Well, speaking of politicians, Aaron O'Toole, who's the conservative Peter McKay's also there, but conservative front runner. And he had one of the best lines ever that I saw at his talk, which was he said, a lot of people don't know this, I'm younger than Justin Trudeau. I don't look it like he's balding and rather squat and a bit chubby. And he says, but this is what it looks like if you work all the time.
Wow.
Like, it was a great line. So
you've had some great moments in Kelowna. Is there anything that you think Kelowna could do more for you know, business people, or for yourself, or your family?
You know what? I think there's Kelowna is great, and I'm very I feel gratitude every time I wake up and drive by the lake and see the majestic wonder that is our Kelowna. I think the part of the community that troubles me the most right now is the homeless situation. I know we have. I've dove in on Journey Home with certain stakeholders in the creation of Journey Home. And I think it's a good start. I don't know what the execution plan is, or I think there's some issues surrounding that. But that is truly one of those causes that's captured my interest, and I'm gleaning as much information as I can, because I think it's going to be, you know, with our climate and with this beautiful place we live in, I think it's going to be more of an issue when the weather turns a little bit more, and I think we're going to be back with a lot more issues surrounding homelessness.
Any aspirations to follow in your father's footsteps?
I would say that I'm not saying no. I would say that depending on whatever my family and I feel like the family is ready for that step for me to take, I would certainly look at it, just because, you know, I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for anyone that holds office, so it would be a pleasure, but like I said, I would have to see what the family has to say about those things, because the odd time I'm counted on to empty the dishwasher and clean the toilets and that sort of thing in the house. So.
If you ever seek office, your repertoire of jokes would have to change slightly.
Come on, Ken.
Hey, Donald Trump is doing a hell of a job.
Just throwing that out there. Well, as your unofficial advisor.
Well, are you my campaign manager?
Well, I'm not saying I am your campaign manager, but at this point you don't have one. Just this is free advice.
Well, and you know what? I do appreciate it, and thank goodness I didn't have to pay for it.
How long are these podcasts, Jim? My phone is ringing.
we'll wrap it up quickly here. So
yeah, don't worry.
Not that I'm bored, but who's next? Well, who's your next podcast?
You can't leave in the middle of the podcast.
Yeah,
no, I'm just wondering if that's ever been done. I was thinking of it. Yeah. No, Rick, I'm really captivated.
You're in. You got to commit.
I don't want this to end.
Well, and I get that.
So we got a couple more questions, and then a quick fire. So, What's scaring you right now in the world? What's got you scared?
Well, some people would say the coronavirus is obviously, you know, pervading the media mm-hmm. cycle, and I get that. And someone from the media, which I kind of count myself, I know the media has to feed itself, so I do think that there's a lot of hype surrounding that. So it worries people, and I think it's a general consensus is it's worrisome, but I don't know. I'm an optimist. I always think that because we replicated it in a lab, I think the next step is we'll find some sort of inoculation for it. So that, I guess I kind of mm-hmm. balance that. It does worry me, but it in a lot of ways it doesn't because I think the best.
So what's got you excited then? What's got you up, gets you up in the morning and just like you're so jacked up, you want to get done?
I would say just really, I feel like every day I get to do something I love, which is work with people that I think are really talented, that took risks. I'm a huge fan of the business community because I think those people have laid it out on the line, and I don't think the NDP government has helped them much in that regard. So I would say helping other people that are entrepreneurs, and they're you know, they're helping build a community by employing people, and they're going out there and they're doing the best they can. So I think helping the business community in some ways jacks me up all the time.
So you really like doing what you do?
I love it. Like, I truly do feel like I'm
living the dream.
I really have. There's, if people say, well, what's bothering you? Not a ton. Like, no, it's a great day every day.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. First of all, we'll apologize to the Fipke family, Clare's home, the city or the town of Clare's home,
and anyone else, yeah. And well, any of the many people who were offended,
and the NDP government, of course.
Oh no, they can stick it, yeah.
Ooh. And then we do thank you for sharing your road to now. That's awesome. And let's do a little quick fire. Unless you have some questions you want to ask. Do you have some questions?
A quick what?
Do you have some questions you'd like to ask?
Anything yes, that I we would. Missed out on? What's Midway really like?
Midway?
Okay. Yeah.
Midway is, I'd say Midway is a great place to grow up. If you know what I mean? Like it's, if you read this story of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, mm-hmm. there it is, right there.
Okay.
It's kind of like that, right? So you made fun with like sticks and rocks and gasoline. Gasoline was a good thing. That was one of our toys, but
blowing stuff up. It's one of life's great. I think it's.
I was going to say how to make gunpowder, but I'll just leave that. People look for that on the
internet. With Midway, I just imagine. What are we going to call this place? I don't know. It's halfway between here and there.
Well, that's actually the name. It's Midway between.
Was on I know.
Well, I imagine when they got the traffic light, everyone was like, "Oh, there would have been a problem."
There's no traffic light.
See.
That's still in the future.
So I do have a question of Ken. So other than today's interview, who is the most interesting, compelling interview you've had in the last 90 days? Give it to me now. Other than today, because, you know, obviously.
Oh, most. Oh, and I can't go with today?
Listen, we already know.
The most compelling interview, well, I guess it would
the
be
moose.
The the landscapers who saved the moose.
What?
You
are
have
you talking
250,000 YouTube views. Can't be wrong.
Well, I mean, the numbers don't lie.
You know, they went and they got a bobcat and they hoisted that thing out of there. They took care of that moose.
That's a great story.
It was very compelling.
Okay, well. So thanks. Thanks for that, Kent.
No, you know what? I'd have to go. It's so weird how sometimes I can't remember what I did like last week. I have to, I've got to look back and, you know, I'm sure there was something more compelling than that.
Let's do some quick fire and we'll bring Kent into it too.
Did you wear a helmet when you played contact sports?
I walked into a pool once.
No one knows. Well,
and a glass door twice here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They got to start putting little stickers on there for you.
Right at eye level.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Maybe a little shocking wire in front
of you. A little bit of safety in the workplace thing.
When you go out to eat, where do you go? What's a favorite place to dine?
You know what? I love the patio at the Harvest Golf Club.
What do you like to eat there?
I'm one of those people that when I order, I try to change it just to see if I can.
That's where you see the white.
The server rolls her eyes back in her head. Like, okay, I understand this is a chicken burger, but I'd like it in a wrap.
So they talk about you when you come. You take the table. No, okay. You take the table.
Favorite alcoholic beverage?
Favorite alcoholic beverage would be wine from, what's your winery called?
The View.
You know what? To be honest, there was a wonderful glass of wine I got to share on the terrace of Mission Hill, which is, you know, there's the moments. They're not sure what comes first, is the special glass of wine or the moment. This one was like a collection of both. And it was, I can't remember the year, 2008 Oculus. And the sun was shining. The vineyards were right there. And I just felt blessed to be alive at that moment. So was it the wine or was it the moment? I'm not sure. But it was still an incredible glass of wine. Yeah.
Sport?
Hockey.
Play, like hockey?
Eat, sleep, watch.
You do some kind of charity thing too with the hockey.
What's I kind of do a charity thing with the hockey.
You
want
to give a little plug right here? Yeah.
Well, yesterday,
two, three people listening. Yeah,
yesterday, the Calgary Flames came back in the third period with 8 minutes left they were down 2-0. Flames are my team. To come back and beat the Columbus Blue Jackets in overtime with 10 seconds left. And yes, my child said, "Dad, can you not scream every time that they win?" Because she goes, "It startles me, Dad. So could you please not?"
How about if I buy you a burger and go to the brew house and watch the game? That's what he said, Jack. Like, I'll give
favorite
you
talk show host?
Favorite talk show host? The master is Oprah Winfrey. I mean, she built an empire. And people that have been interviewed by her say she is one of those people that it feel, even though there's a studio audience and thousands, millions of people watching and everything else, you feel like you were the only person on the planet at the time, which I think today's society could learn a thing or two by her listening skills, which are extraordinary.
Favorite golf course hole?
You know what? There's many signature holes at Harvest and Predator are my favorite courses, but I would say Harvest, the first tee, because my drive is a little bit wonky, and it has a power fade off to the left. So if I swing really hard, then that hole works out for me really well.
Nice.
Well,
right?
I thank you for sharing your road to now. I know Kent keeps looking at his phone, so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know what? You could learn a thing by Oprah. You know what? You watch old shows of Oprah, maybe learn a thing or two. Listening, Kent.
Sorry, who's talking?
That's that Jeopardy dad, dude.
It's that lazy eye kicking up again.
Well, you know what? This has been a great laugh for sure. It's been a lot of laughing.
Well, thanks for the invite, Jeepers Creepers.
Thank you for. You're gonna give that plug to that hockey thing or not?
Heck no. No, they can. They can switch.
Figure it out. Rick's got some kind of hockey thing going on where his team show up and they do something for charity
Well, we got to do. You know what? We do have to volunteer. If there was another message in there, you know, people should volunteer or else bad things will happen to them.
I agree.
Well, I volunteered to be on this podcast, so check that box.
Yeah. Toss that away.
We got Gandhi. You are Gandhi over here.
This is probably the last podcast.
Yeah. Sorry.
You had a good run, Jim. Jim had a good run. Jim Belicious.
Yeah. Till it.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. No.
Thanks for letting me tag along, Jim. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for coming in, Rick.
Thanks for the laugh, Rick.
Well, hey, this is a veritable hoot.
Nice. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to be part of this podcast, we'd love to share your story and your road to now.